Argument this morning is Eva's Bridal against Hellenic Enterprises.
May it please the Court, my name is Maurice Salem. I represent the appellants in this case. Your Honors, the appellants in this case, Eva's Bridal and Saeed Gusain, they entered into two consecutive licensor-licensee agreements, also called franchise agreements, with the appellees to permit the appellees to use their trademark name, Eva's Bridal, in exchange for monthly payments. The second and last agreement terminated in 2002. However, the appellees continued to use the trademark name, Eva's Bridal, without paying for it. The lower court permitted the appellees to do this, and it held that the appellants lost their right to their trademark because of their conduct, and that their conduct constituted naked licensing. So the issue that's before this court to decide is whether the appellant's conduct, as specifically described in the lower court's decision, constitutes naked licensing. Now, the basis of the lower court's decision was the deposition testimony of the wife of the plaintiff, Nancy Gusain. She testified to three facts. One, that the appellees control all the daily operations of the business. Two, that the appellees handle the business from beginning to end. And three, that the appellants, the licensors themselves, do not have any control over the operation of the business. On those three facts that the lower court cited, it held that that constitutes naked licensing, and it used this court's decision in the TMT North America case. The lower court said that the central issue is whether the plaintiffs, the appellants herein, exerted any supervision or control over the defendants in their management of Eva's Bridal. Now, the authority it relied on is this court's TMT case, but Your Honors, that case, plus all the other cases that was cited, stand for the proposition that the licensor is only required to have oversight over the quality of the product that the licensee issues out. That's all that is required, not the management or control over the business. That your TMT case
what
also...
What sort of control does this record establish? That is, what in this record establishes that somebody who went into the Hellenic Enterprises store would see the same kind of store as some other store with the Eva's Bridal name out front?
Nothing, Your Honor, and that's exactly what the TMT case requires. It requires that the party claiming this naked licensing, they have a stringent burden. The TMT case said, citing the Exxon case.
I don't think you listened to my question.
Go ahead.
What in this record establishes that there is any overlap between the experience a customer has in the Hellenic Enterprises store and the experience a customer has in some other Eva's Bridal store? Is there any continuity of trade dress? Right? What is it that Eva's Bridal insists that the franchisee do to preserve the trademark so that one knows what the general quality and origin of the goods is?
The wedding dresses, the gowns themselves, Your Honor, they are purchased from manufacturers.
They're not purchased from Eva's Bridal. What does this outlet have in common with any other Eva's Bridal outlet?
You know, I'm going to answer that question. In addition to the name, they have the same. They purchase from the same manufacturers. The lower court cited that the plaintiff...
That would be like saying that Safeway would be fine if it just licensed its name to a grocery store which had nothing in common with any other grocery store, made no effort to supervise it, because effectively all supermarkets buy their goods from Nabisco and General Motors and so on, and therefore they have the supplies in common. That couldn't possibly be the limit of the trademark owner's obligation just to ensure that this was a supermarket like any other. The trademark is supposed to say this is distinctive in the following ways. Right? This is different because, you know, this is an Eva's bridal store as opposed to somebody else's store. That's what I'm asking you. What was it that made this a distinctively Eva's bridal store?
I mean, I see where you're going with that, Your Honor, but I believe that's not an issue in this case because it's the naked licensing that's issue that's been raised in this case. But to answer your question, Your Honor, I believe the only thing is the manufacturers that were chosen originally and the operation itself. The record itself also has in it the forms and the for example, the day-to-day operation that the original EVAs handled was transferred to the appellees. But, Your Honor, my understanding is that the TMT case requires a stringent burden. It places a stringent burden on the appellees to show that there was a below minimal quality of the product that's being sold. And that, Your Honor, is a requirement to find for naked licensing.
There's no requirement that trademarks mark only high-quality goods. There are trademarks for low-quality goods.
Right.
The requirement is that it be of consistent quality, so that the Eva's bridal mark marks a particular kind of good.
Correct.
A particular kind of selling arrangement. It could be that Eva's bridal wants to be the mark for dirt cheap wedding dresses. That's perfectly fine. But if when you go into one Eva's bridal store, it has nothing in common with another Eva's bridal store except the same people make the dresses. That would be like saying going into one Safeway store has nothing in common with another except that they both have Kellogg's Sugar Frosted Flakes on the shelves.
Well, Your Honor, there's a whole variety of manufacturers that design different dresses. If you have an individual who has a taste and knows what dresses to pick, wedding dresses, they differ in quality and variety. If that individual picks from certain manufacturers, certain wedding dresses, and makes that affiliated with their name, that constitutes a distinction, Your Honor, and that distinction is what was turned over to the licensee here. But, Your Honor, here what's important is that the lower court said that the appellants in this case lost their rights to their trade name because their conduct constitutes naked licensing. And your TMT case, the lower court misread it, Your Honor. Your Honor, here's what I believe. I believe that both the lower court and the opposing counsel, they simply do not understand what constitutes a franchise agreement. The purpose of a franchise agreement is to turn over management and daily control over to the licensee. Otherwise, what's the purpose of entering that agreement? The owner of the trademark can simply hire employees and run the business themselves. And I believe that's what the lower court misunderstood. And also, Your Honors, the actual agreements in them, and it's cited in my briefs in the record, it states that the appellees are to manage the daily operations and all the entire business. So I believe opposing counsel will agree to this, the appellees were doing exactly what the agreement says that they should do, which is all the management and daily operations of the business. That's why I believe the lower court
has to be something in common. Suppose McDonald's
right.
licenses a franchise outlet, but the only requirement is that franchisee has to buy good quality beef and they have to sell at least some hamburgers, but otherwise they can look exactly like a White Castle. That would not be, one would think that that was a naked license of the McDonald's mark. And that seems to be what's happened here. Right? There seems to be no agreement by the franchisee that they will look like Eva's Bridal or White Castle or indeed McDonald's.
Your Honor, yes, there is. As a matter of fact, the plaintiff, in the lower court's decision, it was stated that the plaintiff, Saeed Hussein, made sure all the manufacturers received payments so that you maintain the exact quality of dresses. Your Honor, I Judge Easterbrook, with all due respect, I think you missed the point here.
I licensed its mark to some generic store and just said it is a requirement that in addition to having Kellogg's Sugar Frosted Flakes, you have to pay Kellogg's. That would be about as clear an example of a naked license as one could imagine.
Your Honor, an individual can simply have better taste of picking certain dresses than others. Wedding gowns differ. Some gowns cost $20,000, some cost $1,000. An individual who has taste in wedding gowns can create their own name, and customers associate those dresses that they have with that particular name. And that, I believe, is the distinction, Your Honor. Yes, sir.
But neither the 91 or the 98 agreements speak to that you should purchase from these four manufacturers or these six manufacturers. Now, just to kind of follow up, I believe, on where Chief Judge Eastbrook was leading you, as to this quality control, which would be associated with the preservation of the name, there seems to be an absence of requirement that there be this quality control.
Well, Your Honor, the agreement does say that they take over the inventory and they continue the operation, and that
so
they have all management.
Implicit in the operation, I say, is that you should confine yourself to those manufacturers which previously the original EVAs, purchased from? I mean,
yes, Your Honor. And let me just go one step ahead of you. Let's say that their quality was reduced. Let's say they went to different manufacturers out there that produced horrible quality. Your Honor, that would constitute naked licensing if the appellants didn't do anything about it. So in other words, you're right. It's implicit in the agreement that they need to contain the same manufacturers. But let's assume they go to manufacturers with cheap products and they lower the quality really bad and the appellants don't do anything. Your case, the TMT North America case, says that would constitute naked licensing, and that doesn't exist here. Your Honor, before just one last point. Keep in mind, this is a case of summary judgment where there's no issue of material fact. The lower court dismissed the witness Nancy Gusain's affidavit, saying she can't create it.
Thank you, counsel.
Okay, thank you, Your Honor.
Ms. Grifford.
Your Honors, the court knows that this comes down to one issue today. The issue is that the appellant was required to maintain some form of quality control in relation to their alleged trademark in Eva's Bridal. Halenik, the appellee here, has given a variety of examples as to where either there should have been such information in place and there wasn't, or where there just clearly was not. There was no quality control, and there were examples of that. The plaintiff has not yet pointed to anything in the record that indicates there was this control. And since we're not here with a whole lot of factual dispute, in fact, we both seem to agree on the majority of the facts and definitely the substantive facts, this is definitely a proper summary judgment matter on behalf of the appellees. I just briefly want to go over a few things. First, this court is correct that the licensor is required to maintain that quality control so far as a customer going into one Eva's Bridal store, for example, the one operated by Halenik, would have the same experience as going into another Eva's Bridal. The issue that appellant seems to continue to return to involves some sort of minimum quality standard that they've been citing throughout their briefs. Best as I can tell, this is from KFC, and it's actually a standard that Kentucky Fried Chicken used while they were asserting quality control, and that's what was involved in that case. I don't see anywhere that the Fifth Circuit followed this minimum standard.
Marks are usually thought to be marks for low quality. KFC does not get any stars in the Guide Michelin.
Well, it just to say that it seems that in order for Eva's Bridal to fall below such a quality standard as set by KFC, it might be necessary for the wedding dress to be dripping grease, and that is not something that this court would be willing to entertain, of course. The holding in KFC was that the court in the Fifth Circuit didn't wish to address specifically the quality of the product. They weren't going to sit to assess that, but whether the control was in place. And this court followed.
Was there anything in the franchise agreement, or in the, I won't even refer to it as franchise, is there anything in the contract that required this Halenik to stock a list of dresses that Eva's Bridal specified? It could, you know, an agreement might say, we have a current catalog, the Eva's Bridal catalog, and you must have those dresses in your stock and can't have any others, but at least must you have those dresses in your stock?
No, those two agreements are B and G in the appendix, and they are very short documents. They simply say they can use the name, and if they want, in one of the documents it refers to hiring and firing of managers. Nowhere does it talk about lists of vendors, lists of services that can be offered by Eva's Bridal, lists of products that they must stock. In fact, the testimony of Nancy Gusain in this matter specifically shows that some of those vendors had been changed as her company, Exclusives for the Bride, began doing some of the ordering for Hellenic Store as they were attempting to get some higher-end dresses that were not available through their traditional manufacturers. So they, in fact, had begun investing and making changes in this product on their own. The agreements have absolutely no structure as far as quality control, what can be done, what can't be done, how to do checks. Nancy and Saeed, who were former, Nancy is a former owner of this alleged trademark. Saeed is the current owner of the store in issue. Well, alleges to be the current owner of the mark in issue. Neither of them have testified through depositions or anything that there was any such control. They continue to maintain that they left Hellenic to run the store as Hellenic saw best. And the lower court saw that, really, they left Hellenic to do everything, including the manufacturers and the quality and the appearance of the store and the whole nine yards. In particular, the portion of the opinion which was included in the brief proper seems to have removed the entire last paragraph that does speak to quality control. The judge clearly discusses that he sees no, the documents do not show that plaintiffs exercise any control, particularly with respect to quality. So if the issue is that they feel that the lower court has misunderstood, it's clear from the opinion that they did not. In addition, I'm still waiting to find out how they control quality, what they do to control it, what things they control. These are things that at this point they should be able to tell us, which we have not received. As we are on summary judgment in this matter, they need to give us a little bit more just than their blanket assertion that they are correct. In several places we see we have evidence, we are showing evidence, and then a general citation to exhibits A through Z, which doesn't really give us the opportunity to see what it is that they believe is this evidence they're looking for. In addition, appellant has just mentioned that if the quality standard did become far, far inferior, that would, in fact, be naked licensing in the event that nothing was done about it. I find this peculiar considering one of the suits in the lower court against Hellenic was, in fact, that their quality was so poor that it was damaging them, that their count four involves damage to goodwill and business reputation and trademark infringement of all kinds based on those very things. So I find it unusual that is coming up at this point. In addition, as the court has noted, this was not a mark on individual dresses. This was a mark on a business that was operated by a company. None of the particular products here are covered by this mark, and in fact, the second licensing agreement was actually a sale and licensing as well. The entire store is the property of Hellenic Enterprises. It seems to be just the name at this point that is in dispute. I would also note that has been those licensing agreements have been expired since 2002, and Hellenic Enterprises continues to maintain their Eva's Bridal as they have in that interim period, which is now 9 years without any sort of agreement. Unless the court has any additional questions, I would simply ask that you affirm the decision of the lower court in granting the summary judgment motion on behalf of appellees.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, counsel. The case is taken under advisement.